Absolute Law Studios on Stan and Haney Boulevard.
This is 96 K-Rock.
Afternoon.
Good afternoon, Thomas.
Glad to have
How
you
to
on.
How to do?
They didn't talk that way back then. How to do?
Oh, what's the theme today?
The Southerners actually were the biggest aristocrats there were.
Yes.
They were much more formal than their New England counterparts.
We are circa 1798 right now, my
friend.
Well,
good day then, sir.
Good day to you, sir.
And have a good morrow.
I was speaking with my colleague.
And Stanford?
Good day to you, sir.
Mr. Noelonic to you, sir. I call him
Connecticut.
I call him Stanford in private. We've come to a determination that should bear fruit on our current circumstance. And we can only hope that Providence will shine upon us, since we have figured out this twisted riddle.
Well, I hope you allow me to be privy to it.
I've asked you specifically into this room, Thomas, so that you can share in this knowledge. We've been researching the history of this country, and we've come upon a great, great discovery that both Mr. Adams and Mr. Jefferson, who had a contentious yet very fond relationship, died on the same day. They died on July 4, 1826.
Same day, same year.
Our relationship mirrors that of Adams and Jefferson.
It does, sir.
Therefore, we have determined that we shall expire, the two of us, in separate locations after not speaking for several years, on July 4, 2026.
I shall seek that he passes first.
I, sir,
and
shall
wish
seek
notification.
That I shall seek that you pass first.
You know the funny thing.
However,
about that?
However, unbeknownst to anyone, I will write a tender missive to you that will be delivered upon both of our deaths.
Funny thing about that, both Adams and Jefferson died on the same day, July 4th,
1826.
James Monroe, who followed, he was the fifth president, he too died on July 4th, as was custom, I guess, back then.
Not as impressive as the two of us.
No!
Well, I shall take it upon myself to see that that is done, whether you're ill or not.
Very well.
See that it is done and see that it is well publicized. This young nation.
Will you please, please?
Well, I please one.
If you are not ill, I shall deliver an asp to your residence.
I would prefer a glancing blow across the temple, perhaps using a fireplace implement.
I shall have order. Order.
Oh, you have order, your rotundity.
You take you and your fellow Republicans and deal with France from now on.
May I remind you, sir, that without France, we would still be under the heel of Great Britain.
Without a treaty with Great Britain, we shall be at war.
Then at war we shall be. Is their revolution no better than ours, John?
As their rebels continue to deal with our American Indians, we must have our outposts free from this.
Then I'm afraid you leave me with nothing left to say but good day, John.
Good day to you, sir.
Good day.
You guys fall into that far too easily.
I know.
We'd be much more at home then.
You know, I used to think you guys were born like 20 years too late. I think you're born like 200 years too late.
I think we could fit into just about any time period very well, except the current one.
I've been told that many times. I got to help me. Haney, you know about internet fakes. What I mean by
scams?
I know where you're going with this, and as far as I can tell, the earthquake is real.
No, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking, you know.
International lottery?
Yeah, you know how the international lottery thing, the guy from
Nigeria.
Yeah, I've won that like 17 times.
All right, help me out.
But I only know when I check my junk mail.
Help me out on this and tell me, first of all, when I come into work and I see an email from the general manager of this company.
That should be your first red flag.
It's usually a see me. But when I see an email from the general manager of this company,
that's a red flag. It's got your attention.
Yes.
Danger.
Yep. I open up the email from the general manager of this company.
An attachment?
No attachment. It was a...
Well, you're okay so far.
A multi-forwarded email.
Oh, no. Not one of those where there's like a million email addresses on it?
Yeah.
Those are fun, though, because when you get those, you gain access to email addresses you should never have.
I know, but... And I want to read the content of this email because...
So it's not directly from the general manager,
no.
But it's been forwarded through him.
No, he was like probably a fifth or sixth party.
Yes.
That he probably just was told he'd get bad luck if he didn't forward this to 10 people.
Precisely. You know, good luck will come upon you if you forward this to 10
friends.
And so,
in essence, what he's doing is passing the bad luck along to Stan.
But...
And a quick side note,
yes.
You know what's getting big now, and I don't like it?
What?
The text messages. They're doing the same thing now with text.
Oh, don't bother me.
Yeah, I don't even know.
The forwarded and then pass this on to friends.
I'm just talking about what I got today.
And he used you to pass along his bad luck.
Here's what he sent me, and I'm sure I'm counting on your wisdom.
Now, did he send this to you personally or both of us?
To the show.
Oh, no.
Stan and Haney at 96krock.com.
At 96gayrock.com.
Yeah. The gay rock.
Mm-hmm. Hey, mind your own Beasley.
This is what I got.
Now for Leave It to Beasley.
Starring Brock Beasley as the bees. This sounds so far-fetched, it's got to be a fake email. It's on Miami-Dade County letterhead. And if it's right, beware. If it's a joke, I'm going to show you what my general manager sends me. And I need your wisdom on this.
You're
Andy.
Using me as your own personal BS detector.
Bulletin from DARE officers.
They still fund that program?
I don't know. And this is so...
Because that the DARE program was big when Hammer topped the charts.
Bulletin from DARE officers. Now get a load of this. And this is from the general manager. To our website, expecting us to spread the word. Don't flash headlights at any car with no lights on.
That's old. That is ancient. That's at least 5 years old. You're talking about the gang stuff?
Yes.
That's
why am I getting this from the general manager?
Because I...
Why am I getting this with his letterhead on it?
How can I put this to you, John?
Thomas?
He is a good man, but not necessarily one that we want in a position of actual authority. Now, of course, given his family name, we must treat him with respect. But hardly someone we want to empower to make treaties or print money.
Now, however, if this is old, it's going around
again. It's completely fake.
That
is right up there with Jinkum. At least we knew that was a joke.
Here's what this says, and it's going around. I love reading this because it is so
bunk.
It's bunk. Don't flash headlights at... This comes from the general manager! Don't flash headlights at any car with no lights on. Police officers working with the DARE program have issued this warning. If you are driving after dark and see an oncoming car with no headlights on, do not flash your lights at them. This is a common Bloods member initiation game that goes like this.
Why are you wasting your breath?
A new gang member under initiation drives along with no headlights on. And the first car to flash their headlights at him is now the target. He is now required to turn around and chase and spot that car. Then shoot and kill every individual in the vehicle in order to complete his initiation requirements. Police departments across the nation are being warned. Their intent is to have all new bloods nationwide drive around on Friday and Saturday nights with their headlights off. In order to be accepted into the gang, they have to shoot and kill all individuals in the first auto that does a courtesy flash to warn them that their headlights are off. Make sure you share this information with all the drivers in your family. Forward this message to all your friends and family members to inform them about this initiation ritual. They are also known to drive with high beams on and will do the same as indicated above. This comes from Corporal Jefferson Davenport, Traffic Unit Supervisor, Hershey, PA.
Oh, but it came from Dade.
Yeah, it came from Dade.
Via Hershey, PA.
Yeah, this from the general manager.
You could look it up on your favorite website, Snoops. Yeah.
I'm on hoaxslayer.com.
Yes, Hoaxslayer.
Began circulating via email and fax in 93.
So this thing is, it's like 15 years old.
It was given new life in 1998 with the film Urban Legend. They actually did it in that. But it's been several different versions. It has actually went up in Canada to the RCMP instead of the DARE program. It,
right.
it was supposedly from the Royal Canadian.
Thank you, Brock Beasley. And Brock Beasley as the bees. So there you go. Oh.
And how dare you bring such rubbish in front of this esteemed body?
I'll bring something better. We got an email from a listener, and he wants to thank us. This is from Rick. Gentlemen, I'm spending a couple of days at Fort Myers Beach on vacation. At 7:30 this morning, I walked over to the 7-Eleven to get some coffee. As I'm in line...
So far, so good.
Yes, as I'm in line, in walks a mid-30-ish woman in a tight black evening dress with F me pumps on, big sunglasses covering her face, hair pulled up, walking quickly and making no eye contact, purchasing coffee. Hilarious. You guys make me laugh even when you're not on the air. Referring to the walk of shame.
Yep. What time? 7:30 in the morning?
7:30 this morning.
Oh, yeah. But usually they're not wearing the pumps. They're carrying them.
Yeah.
Yeah, because, you know, after a
they're
night
sore,
in those pumps,
yeah.
A lot of their calves are hurting.
And they're kind of doing a little tiptoe across the parking lot.
And, of course, that tatters their nylons if they're wearing them again.
Oh, brother.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, you've seen the walk of shame when that...
Yes!
That guy was running a prostitution ring out of the empty apartment downstairs.
No, he's seen it, yeah, when he just pulls the blinds a little bit.
Yep. There was the... Yep. For the empty apartment underneath.
Yep.
But that was in the middle of the day.
The realtor, you know, slash prostitute.
That is one of the advantages of having what some people might consider a sad, lonely existence. You get to laugh at everybody else
because
you do nothing. And that includes... The fact that you do nothing wrong, either.
Right.
Yeah, nothing wrong.
If you do you don't do anything embarrassing.
Yeah, you don't do anything.
My...
Nothing can go wrong, or can it?
It'll find me. But I love the whole thing that I'm seeing that, and I say, thank God that ain't me. Stay out of the limelight. Stay out of the headlights of oncoming bloods.
Right.
And you won't get into any trouble. That's the way I look at it. By the way, after the grab bag today, which will be coming up next, I've already edited it down to make it palatable, sir.
Well, that is much appreciated, so that perhaps someone outside of Massachusetts can enjoy it.
The email that you sent me last night, the article about Coconut Point. I want to hold off on it.
Well, hold off on it, but I...
Unbelievable!
I can tell you this much. I got home last night, you know, immediately went to work perusing the news to see what's been going on. I found an article.
A good one.
And read it through quickly once. did not take the time to peruse it again or make sure I knew immediately. I copied the article and sent it to Stan with the following heading line. The subject line in the email read, "All the wrong reasons."
Yeah.
And Stan replied to me, too.
Oh, yeah.
One word reply, three letters. Wow.
It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable.
It's, again, our area.
In the headlight. In the
for
limelight.
All the wrong reasons.
Some could say, I would imagine it's international headlines.
Yeah.
About something that should not be international headlines. It should be a fairly routine local story that wouldn't even make the front page of our paper.
But let's put it this way. This routine story that shouldn't make the front page of our paper is now being batted around Congress in Washington, D.C.
Show you how far out of hand it's gotten. I heard Barbara Boxer commenting on it.
Yes, she did!
Oh, yeah. It's everywhere.
We'll do the grab bag next, and then I will read you what Haney sent to me yesterday, and I caught it.
Of course,
he sent
you the unabridged version.
Yes.
You had to pare it down.
I pared it down because there's a lot of no votes, a lot of yay votes. I've got the article. I'll read it to you. We'll comment on it because, once again,
Southwest
Florida in the news for all the wrong reasons. Stan and Haney in the afternoon. Glad to have you along. It's Friday. Still to come on the show. Told you about it towards the end of last break. Once again, Southwest Florida in the news for all the wrong reasons.
Oh, and one quick thing that I wanted to bring up, because you and I, we were talking about it at the beginning of the show. We've talked about it a lot. This John Adams thing on HBO.
Phenomenal.
The finale is this Sunday.
Yes.
Leading up to the finale, if you've got a DVR or you've got the time and want to kill an afternoon, they are going to run every episode back-to-back on Sunday. I believe it starts around 2 o'clock. Check your local listings. But the entire John Adams series will be available to you on Sunday.
It's incredible. And the finale is Sunday night.
And he says like
8
segments total.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, and they go anywhere from 1 hour and 15 to 1 hour and a half. I think the finale is only 1 hour, but it is one of the best things that you will ever see on television.
Absolutely,
I keep seeing it, but I don't want to jump in the middle. So this is a good opportunity.
No,
to
you
see the,
absolutely
the whole deal. Yeah.
You do not want to jump in in the middle.
Uh-uh.
But if you have a recording device. Sunday would be a good time to put it to use, and I guarantee you, once you start watching it,
you'll get hooked.
Stan did not.
Took him a little while.
I was like,
But then once he was hooked, then it's like, okay, I got to catch up now.
Yeah, and you don't want to miss an episode. And so that's great that they're running them all again on Sunday, and you can waste an entire Sunday watching.
Yeah, and Sunday we get to watch everybody die.
Yeah, so that's great.
Oh, I had a dream last night, one of my vivid dreams.
Yeah.
Don't know why. I was in the last scene of The Sopranos.
Yeah.
But at the other end of the bar.
Yeah.
So I saw everything that happened.
What happened?
Tony got whacked by the guy in the members only jacket. Meadow came in.
Yeah.
I looked at her.
Yeah.
And then I looked back, and the guy with the members only jacket went down that little hallway, and then he just came back, boom, capped him right there at the table.
Well, wow. I told you that's what happened.
I know, but I actually saw it in my dream. It was great.
What are you talking about? He told you that 6 months ago.
Yeah, so so was it better seeing it?
It was great. The kid, AJ, and the wife were going crazy. Tony's got blood shooting out of his head.
Wow.
I guess enough time has passed now that he wouldn't hold it against me. But I told Chase that's what he needed to do, and he said, no, I want to go with the artsy ending.
Right.
Scouring the globe to bring you what you need to hear.
According to him.
Thank you.
Buckle your seatbelts. It's time for Stan's Audio Grab Bag.
I got to set this up a little bit. Regis and Kathy Lee. What is it?
Kelly Ripa.
Interchangeable blonde that sits next to Regis.
Bubbly blonde.
Well, Priscilla Presley is on with Regis and Kelly.
She's had a lot of plastic surgery damage.
And she's talking about her Dancing with the Stars deal that she was on. during the show.
And it, when she was on Dancing with the Stars, it was embarrassing because the judge said, I didn't see you show any emotion. Well, she can.
Yeah, because of the Botox.
During the show, Regis and Kelly are talking over each other as they're asking her questions. And Priscilla Presley tells Regis, please, Regis, ask your question again. You keep being interrupted. And then Kelly Ripa laughs it off and apparently never talked again through the entire segment.
It's like something you'd do.
Yeah. Especially if I'm being talked over.
Oh, my God. Was it a wake-up call for me?
Yeah.
A lot of work, huh?
Oh, it is so much work. It truly is life-changing.
How many hours a day would you spend in the dance studio?
Sorry, Regis, would you say because she kind of butt in?
Oh, sorry.
Happens a lot.
No, it probably is the same question, but were you much of a dancer before this?
No.
Kelly didn't talk through the whole rest of
then
the segment.
Then she was done. She just shut down.
Well, I guess you learned your lesson, Priscilla Presley.
Kelly Ripa was on Letterman last night, and Letterman decided
Would she talk then?
Yeah, but Letterman was giving her a rough time.
Well, because him and Regis are tight.
There you go.
We recently, over the summer, went on a family reunion, Mark's side of the family.
How many people there?
Oh, I mean, tens and tens of people.
Can I just interrupt for a second?
Yeah.
This looks like it may be dislocated.
Oh, really?
Her shoulder. God, he's going. Ooh, scared me. Wow, did you see that?
Sitting funny or something?
Are you okay?
Does it look
to you? Oh! We needed to pop it back into the joint or something.
Oh, my gosh. I don't know if it's the steroids or the body bronzer.
the body bronzer.
What can cause that?
I don't know.
Oh, my gosh.
Well,
now I'm going to...
Thank goodness everything is... No, you're fine.
Does it look normal
no,
now?
No, we'll get you some magnets. Now, listen.
I thought that...
So, anyway, you're on the family reunion. I know you don't know where to sit. I'm so sorry.
There, that's it. That's perfect.
That's right. I should have kept my mouth
there,
shut.
There, perfect.
Yeah. Anything else? Anything else sticking out?
No, it's...
well,
kind of.
I didn't think so.
magnets.
Yeah. Here's some...
Need some magnets?
Yeah.
Where are your magnets?
I was watching Beckett pitch last night. Had his magnet necklace on.
Mm-hmm. You still wearing your magnets?
I try to.
Do you realize they don't work?
I've never felt better in my life.
Than when you're wearing them?
Yeah.
But you've never really felt
good. You've only worn them one day that I've seen.
3 days.
Unless you're wearing it on another part of your body.
And I felt great.
Oh, no.
Here's some words from the president. He wants you to remember something.
Awesome speech.
So long as I'm the president, my measure of success is victory and success.
No, he didn't just say that.
Yes, he...
So long as I'm the president... My measure of success is victory and success.
What is your measure of victory?
Success. And victory.
This is pretty funny. It was from Jimmy Kimmel. Put together a little piece where John McCain debates himself.
We have been joined on the stage by the leading Republican candidates for the Republican nomination for president, and I want to introduce them to you from left to right. Senator John McCain from the state of Arizona. And Senator John McCain from the state of Arizona. And I'm going to ask Senator McCain whether or not you look to opinion polls and focus groups to make up your minds.
Principles and philosophy that I hold, I have held since I raised my hand at age 17 to... That's not true. That's not complete response to it.
Senator McCain.
In his recent statements on various foreign national security issues, I have strongly disagreed.
Senator McCain.
We disagree on a lot of issues, but I agree you are the candidate of change.
With that, gentlemen, we conclude the Republican debate, and I thank you, and I think you are due a round of applause.
That was good. I disagree.
It's like something I would do.
Here's porn star Jenna Jameson.
Former porn star.
Correct you are, Haney, as she explains making the jump from porn to mainstream.
Hasn't gone so well.
My notes tell me that you've made 50 50 adult movies.
They call them adult films.
Yeah,
and,
porn.
And what made you make this jump to what you call mainstream?
Well, I think for me as a person, it's a natural transition. Most girls in the industry are a little bit afraid because America's not very accepting of what I do. So
they feel they'll be rejected in mainstream movies.
Yeah, but I never did. It was easy for me. Like, I always did mainstream work all throughout my career. I liked to juggle it. I wanted people to think of me more as a smart girl rather than just a bimbo.
Good luck with that.
I'm not really sure. I'm sure that no matter what I do, there's always going to be people that introduce me as former porn star. And I'm okay with that.
Okay,
I think I made that decision to be a porn star early on, and I knew I'd have to live with
it. Your boyfriend did. Your boyfriend slash manager. With the blue jeans and the boots.
Yeah. And the vest.
FAA administrator.
Watch your mouth.
FAA administrator Robert Sturgill.
Robert Bob Sturgill.
Apologizes for all those pesky flight cancellations last week.
I sympathize and apologize for the stress last week's flight cancellations caused the flying public. It's my job to ensure they're safe in the air. And that's what our agency did. That said, we are going to look at all aspects of what occurred last week to try and minimize the chances of such disruptions again.
Thank you.
Thanks, Bob. Well,
what are you going to do about it?
What happened is your past caught up with you. You don't do inspections for 5 years, and then all of a sudden you got to do them within 3 days. That's what happens.
Yep, that's the truth. Hey, let's all say hi to 52-year-old John Schlemp.
Hey, Johnny.
Schlemp. S-L-E-M-P.
Slempy?
How to do?
Yes. 52-year-old John Schlemp.
Howdy!
He went snowmobiling with his son, Jared.
In the snow.
Yeah, and along with a friend. They went around the edge of Mount St. Helens.
Oh, yeah, good idea.
They fell 1,500 feet. They say 1,500 to 2,000 feet into the crater. I guess he had some cuts and bruises and a hyperextended leg, but for the most part, falling into Mount St. Helens, he was okay.
He was swallowed by
so
Mount
you guys
St.
are
Helens.
Sliding on up to the top of the mountain. What was your feeling about whether or not it was treacherous up there?
Well, we've been up there so many times that it's pretty common, and we surveyed the cornice pretty thoroughly. But it was an extremely large cornice on a very warm day.
There's the rub. So you get off of your snowmobiles and
rub,
you start
Chef.
Crawling to the edge to kind of look over the edge. Is that then what happened?
No, we did not crawl to the edge.
Okay.
Never got within probably 10 feet of the edge.
We were closer to 20 feet back.
Mm-hmm.
I got off on all fours crawling. Jared and Rob were standing. As we surveyed the area for about 30 seconds, making sure it was safe, what we thought was safe, Rob and I were surveying it, I crawled back toward my sled, back, you know, on my hands and knees, and it gave way. It gave way I'm being told by these two that it gave way in a perfect V, me being at the bottom of the V.
And how lucky are you to be alive today?
Oh, it was a lot of luck. It was all luck. I didn't have any control over anything that happened after that. I did a few maneuvers that I knew, but...
Yeah, I saw him going down, and what saved him was all the snow that went with him, because he had no line directly below him. It was all rocks. About 20 yards to his right was a small chute between the rocks, and all of the snow that from the cornice steered him into that chute and carried him through it.
What were some of the maneuvers he did while falling? Flapping, or...
A lot of flapping, a lot of leg kicking... I have not heard of this until I read it this morning.
What, Cincinnati bow tie?
No. What is it? The California steamer?
It's Cleveland steamer.
Rusty
trombone.
Four women whose names haven't been released
for good reason
say they were lured.
They were what?
Lured.
Okay.
And held captive in a home in Apopka, Florida.
Where is that?
About 15 miles northwest of Orlando.
Thank you.
While filming a reality show called pauper to princess.
Oh, boy. And a popka.
A popka. Now, I've never heard of this reality show. I don't even think it's going to make air.
Well, you didn't think that pet grooming show was going to make air either.
But the women told police that while filming the reality show, the show's director blocked them and wouldn't let them leave the house they were in. The director was arrested and charged with false imprisonment, but was released after posting a $3,000 bond. Here are the women who claim that they were held captive during the reality show Pauper to Princess in Apopka, Florida.
You just get bullied and intimidated into a spot where you don't feel like it's not even an option.
You trust somebody and then they lie to you. So it's just like the whole situation is overwhelming.
He wasn't there when we were trying to leave. And then all of a sudden I go to open that door and boom, there he is. And he walks in and he's like, where are you going? What are you doing? No. And locks the door in.
You felt trapped.
Yes.
He said, no, you can't go out there. There are people out there. There are people out there. You can't go out there.
I'm like, I want to go. And he had the door locked. And I was scared. So we managed to get through and we were able to escape.
Escape.
So which I'm glad because I really don't know if he what he was capable of doing or whatever, you know, just knowing that I was free. It was a big relief for me.
5 days a week.
I'm glad you could
Eastern
escape.
Sleepless hours.
Escape.
Suffering migraine headaches.
I had to call the
lower back pain and hot flashes to bring you what you need to hear. According to him.
Thank you.
Join us again next time for Stan's Audio Grab Bag.
All right, we'll take a break. We'll be back. 96 K-Rock.
Hey everybody, D-Train here. I want to thank you all so much for being such dedicated Stan and Haney podcast listeners. And just want to throw out there, if you're looking for new podcasts to add to your library, please check out the What's the Scuttlebutt podcast. That is my World War II based podcast. And Dave the Waterman and I also host a general topic podcast called The Waterman and D-Train Show. You can find our podcast at 96krock.com, the 96krock phone app, iTunes, and Stitcher. Thanks so much. And now back to the Stan and Haney Show.
When you're stuck in a massive traffic jam, we're not a bad entertainment alternative. Stan and Haney, 96 K-Rock.
Stan and Haney, in the afternoon, glad to have you along. It's Friday. Half hour away from your first look at traffic for your drive home. Haney in the headlines, bok choy, manservant, with the jokes.
Yes.
It's all on the way.
Thank you.
Did you, Haney, very quickly, did you see the headline in the New York Post today? The same people that brought us the first breaking news about the Marilyn Monroe tape, about what the bum found?
A bum?
Yeah, bum.
Bum.
A hobo. Bum, bum.
A hobo found something in his bum.
No, he found something in the trash can. I'll get to it. This is, I think they got an exclusive on this deal. And you will not believe it. And it will make all the papers tomorrow.
I don't know. I'm pretty jaded. I probably believe it. Damn you and your ethics.
Headline in the New York Post reads, "Trashy WTC security. Homeless guy finds key plan in a can." Let me detail this.
Yes, please elaborate.
This, now
you have my attention.
This is un-effing believable. Here's the story goes, and it's exclusive in today's edition of the New York Post. It's a good thing Osama wasn't walking through Soho yesterday morning. Two sets of confidential blueprints for the planned Freedom Tower, which is set to rise at Ground Zero, were carelessly dumped in a city garbage can on the corner of West Houston.
That's Houston.
And Houston and Sullivan Streets.
I only do that because nothing annoys a New Yorker more than that.
Yeah, Houston Street.
Houston. Experts said the detailed floor-by-floor schematics contained enough detail for terrorists to plot a devastating attack. Secure document, confidential, was on the papers and warns, and it's a warning page on the top of each one of the 150 pages that were thrown in the garbage can. A homeless recovering drug addict discovered them in a public trash can.
You'd think we'd learn.
Quote, anytime a sensitive document is unintentionally left behind, it's a treasure trove for potential adversaries, said an aide, Robert Strang, CEO of Investigative Management Group, a global security firm. It enables them to look for vulnerabilities in the design that they can target, an age-old military tactic.
Mm-hmm. That's how they brought down the Death Star.
Yeah.
They put the plans in an old R2 unit.
Informed of what the homeless man, Mike Fleming, had found in the Soho public garbage can, shocked Port Authority officials, and they security lapse. These were blueprints for the Freedom Tower. Secure, confidential,
which I'm sure will not be a target once it's built,
and we're thrown away.
Because the Freedom Towers that they're building are meant to be gigantic, a gigantic middle finger aimed at the world.
Yup. Violating these protocols is cause for serious disciplinary action, up to termination for employees and breach of contract and legal action for contractors, said Candace McAdams, PA Director for Media Relations.
I'll tell you this right now, Stan. I would have the ass of Tishman Construction and those jackasses at Skidmore, Owings, and Merrill.
There are 11 entitles listed on the page of the blueprints, including the builder, Tishman Construction, the architects, Skidmore, Owings, and Merrill, as Haney told you. Fine, reputable firm.
Haney's really on the ball.
He, sharp as a tack, isn't he?
Very well read.
Although the documents dated October 5th, 2007, are not a complete set of blueprints, they do contain details such as plans for each floor, the thickness of concrete, for the core wall, the location of air ducts, elevators, electrical system, and support columns.
With those plans, any crazy would automatically know the thickness of the concrete, and anyone with an explosive background could easily...
Look, I just told them that.
What about the support columns?
Well, that's on there, too.
What's Fleming think about this?
Fleming, he's 28 and he's originally from Ohio.
What about Owens?
He said he was rummaging through the garbage in search of cardboard. See, let me also explain something. For a homeless person, cardboard, very important.
Well, and you ask a guy in North Naples, you can get a pretty penny for copper.
Yeah. But cardboard, very important, especially up north, because the concrete's cold. And if you're going to make bedding for the night, you need some cardboard to help insulate you.
Like a rat would make a nest. You want to have some cardboard and some newspaper.
He said he noticed the documents and the warning to properly destroy if discarded. See, the thing is, he becomes a hero because the Post has his face splattered all over holding the documents.
I bet he'll be bigger than the subway hero.
Yeah.
He's an honest guy. You know, if he wanted to, he could have put those papers up on eBay or gotten them to Al-Qaeda.
I don't know that he would know how.
He says he could.
That's what they call city talk.
City talk?
That's city talk. I could have gotten them to Al-Qaeda.
So it's kind of a city thing to say.
Yeah, it is.
Caller just had a good point.
What?
Maybe the bum just accidentally intercepted a terrorist plot. What? Maybe that was like a Dropbox. Someone was selling the plans.
Just like how
to a terrorist.
Just like how they did away with the Death Star.
This bum happened to stumble.
Yep. Hobo. I prefer hobo. Well, this is, you know what? This is pretty big because it's pretty stupid that something like that would happen. And by the way, when are they going to build that thing?
They have been through so many different versions.
It's 7.5 years that nothing has been built there.
Yeah, and do you know that I've seen the various visions that they have for that site? None of them are very pleasing.
No. And then you get one group that's upset with it that doesn't represent another group, and they go back and forth. I just think, in a place like New York City, pretty long time before anything gets built.
Yeah.
Because that should have been up a long time ago.
You just don't want to talk about it too much. Because the guy that that took over the World Trade Center just shortly before it went down, he also got himself involved in the Sears Tower and other things, too.
What?
I just wouldn't be resting too easy if I was in Chicago.
Well, what does that mean?
Or Houston, for that matter.
What's in Houston?
Or in the Pacific Northwest, that's all I'm saying. See, Stan, what you got to do is if you're worried about these terrorist acts or disasters,
yeah,
watch for the military to be carrying out a, quote, training exercise where the scenario is exactly what happens. That played out on 9/11, and that played out in Britain when they had the subway bombings. They had personnel in place because they were doing training in case bombs exploded in the tube.
Huh. Steve Yang, an architect who reviewed the schematics, for the Post.
He's just an architect.
Yeah.
Sounds like he might be Asian.
Steve Yang, apparently sounding Asian architect, who reviewed the schematics for the Post, said that even though they do not contain every detail, it would be easy to fill in the blanks.
Stan, the plans are several versions old. They're not very detailed, and they are bidding documents that are given to anyone bidding on contracts.
Where are you reading that one from? I haven't caught up to that yet.
Well, that's the paragraph above the one you just
read.
Damn
it!
Stan redacted that paragraph.
So you can see where all the concrete walls are, where the emergency stairwells are.
It's the paragraph right above the paragraph that begins with "But Steve Yang."
I don't want to say that because it takes the oomph out of the story.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
We're supposed to go and be panicked.
Oh. Sometimes I forget mission number one.
Right. Set panic.
Right.
It's extremely difficult to cause widespread damage with a gas or anthrax attack, thanks to the filtration systems that, according to the schematics, were going to be installed.
Well, most of the time, the breaches like that tend to be inside jobs.
Are you going to read over my shoulder? I can feel you breathing.
I just like to give the illusion that I know it all.
I always
thought you did know it all.
Relatives of 9/11 victims say the lapses in security over Ground Zero have ceased to be surprising. I'd certainly be pretty leery going to work in the building knowing that security on the plans was so lax that even a vagabond would find them, said good guy Bill Doyle.
You don't hear that word a lot, vagabond.
Well, it's the New York Post.
Vagabond? Hobo, Transient?
You hear that.
Drifter?
How about tramp?
Tramp!
Lovable tramp.
Yeah.
The whole thing is kind of frightening. But at the same time, totally expected because we have been failed time and time again, says good guy Bill Doyle.
You are correct, sir.
Lost a family member.
Well, you know, Stan, as shocking and as dangerous as lapses in security are,
experts contend that they are bound to happen again. Will you please? Will you please?
Where's Priscilla Presley when someone's stepping all over Stan?
Jesus, I can feel his
It's
his
daylight.
Breath.
It's daylight. Yeah. She's in her casket.
Outrageous security breaches like this amplify how vulnerable New Yorkers are, said Nicholas Casale, former head of security for the MTA.
With the emphasis on former.
With the emphasis on former.
That's just an embittered ex-employee.
Are you done reading over my shoulder?
I thought it was funny.
Trying to get me, and you're reading the paragraphs ahead of me, jumping behind me, reading the paragraph that I left out.
Yeah, but when it was fun is when at first you didn't realize that I was reading.
Well,
it shook you up
know,
a little
I
bit.
Should assume that. You got a computer over there. As soon as I say I got something, you're right on there ready to steal it.
I think he's trying to steal your thunder, Stan.
Oh... Yeah, go ahead, fold those arms and show that smirk.
He's trying to make you look bad.
Oh, man.
It did. The first time I did it, he went, well, what? Hey,
where are you getting that info
How
from?
Did you know that architectural firm?
God. Why did you pull that out of your hat? All right, we're going to take a break. Where I'm going to regroup.
Okay.
96. K-Rock.
96 K-Rock.
Social Security case, dial pound 529 on your cell. Pound law, that's all.
K-Rock.
Hotline, Stan and Haney show. Hello? Hello?
Hey, guys. How you doing there, guys?
Hey, it's right during the show, as usual. CEO, chairman of the board of Beasley Broadcasting, my boss, Brock Beasley. Mr. Beasley, welcome to the show. We're on the air, though.
I'm aware of that, guys. And I, you know, I do have all those titles, but when it comes down to it, I'm just like you fellas.
You're just like us? Do you struggle to pay your mortgage and car payment and wonder about what you can buy this week at the grocery store and not be overdrawn?
Guys, let's not go out in left field. I've got a camera on me right now.
You have a camera on you. I don't have a camera on me unless it's hidden in the building so you can spy on us.
That may or may not be, but that doesn't have nothing to do with what we're doing right now, guys.
Well, I was in the middle of doing a radio show.
Well, right now you're in the middle of doing a TV show.
What?
Guys.
Yes, Brock.
I'm going through a lot right now. It's all good things, and I think it'll be good for the radio station and, more importantly, the company.
Okay. Good for us, too?
Sure. Guys,
yes, Brock.
I'm just giving you a heads up. I got a camera on me, and they got the audio of you guys right now.
Audio.
I'd prefer Haney to stay out of this because he's a loose cannon, and quite frankly, I'm frightened of him.
Yes, Brock. What? So what's the deal?
Look, you're on my time. I'm compensating you for it.
Well, technically, yeah.
What I would like you to do is to just forget that I'm your boss for a second and talk about what a great guy I am and how much fun I am to work with. Because I'm on a show right now, reality TV show pilot called The World's Greatest Bosses.
Yeah, I've heard something about that.
And it sure would help a lot if you would just talk about how great I am.
Like, what do you want me to say? I don't.
They'll do it. Don't worry. They'll do a lot of editing and they'll clean it up.
Uh huh. Well, I've worked for you for a long time.
You will respect me.
I respect. I don't always agree with what you do, like this. Why am I saying all this stuff so you can be on a reality show? How does that help this radio station?
Because I want to win the title of world's greatest boss.
Don't you do that by earning it instead of
What? I have earned it, and you don't know what I've been through. To do this, I had to go out into the desert with some hippie dude and prove that it's called dual survival.
Yeah.
I guess this dude got his own show where he runs off with a good old boy and they drop him in the ocean and in the woods and stuff.
Yeah, kind of like Man versus Wild.
Do you know what I've been through? I've had to charm a diamondback rattlesnake. I don't know if I'm in Arizona, Utah, or wherever. I just know it's hot and it's the desert.
What?
Well,
you win some money or something? What, do you get a big prize and a vacation or something?
Something like that, but more importantly, I'm going to use that for a launching pad to become a motivational speaker and author.
Oh, yeah, that'll work just fine. Yeah, because you know what? You pump us up. We get pumped when we're talking to you.
That's good. Keep it going.
You know, and that time that you made us sit in the hot box to teach us a lesson, those times that you've come on and told us that you don't like us, that we're killing the radio station, that, you know, all of that was done just to motivate us so that we go and better ourselves. Right, Brock?
That's right. And every time that I tell you to do something you don't want to do, and I tell you, I guarantee if you do this, you'll be successful. It's worked every time, hasn't it?
Has it, Brock? Has it? I don't know if that's... I don't want to get into this on the air, Brock. There are a lot of things...
I don't want you to get into it either. I just want you to say nice things about me so I can make some money.
I really don't know what good I'm supposed to say about you. I'll say this. I am lucky I have a job.
That was beautiful. You're bringing a tear to my eye.
Is that what you want? Well, I'm still trying to
figure... Now, that just proved how good a boss I am, because I had to prove my manhood. You know what I did?
What did you do?
Yesterday, I had to make my own fire, and I'm out here in the desert.
Yeah.
And thank God for craft services. That's all I'll say. But... I figured out how to make my own phosphorus and make fire with a diddly bow.
A diddly bow?
I don't know what you call it. You know, you got a string and you got to twist a stick around.
Yeah,
with it.
And then it heats up with the friction and it starts a fire. Wait, but Brock!
But see, you can't do that with just dead foliage.
I know.
What I figured out is that you can make phosphorus out of your own...
And stop. Now, just stop.
And now I'll tell you what, it lit up like a sparkler on the 4th of July.
Just stop.
And I think I won that episode.
Can I ask you a question
I think I beat the dude from the phone company.
Okay, can I ask you, and I guess you said it, not me, we're not talking as employer and employee. We're just talking to you as a regular guy, right?
That's me.
Okay. How does this, you starting fires with your own, you snake charming a snake or something, and doing a survival thing in the desert with a TV camera on you?
And at some point, I think I've got to grin down a bear.
Okay. How, sir, benefit the radio station, and why am I... doing this in the middle of a show? Does that really benefit the radio station in any way, shape, or form, sir?
You know what, Stan? Because I am such a good boss, I hear what you're saying, man.
Yeah, you hear what I'm saying. Do you have an explanation for it? This does not...
I hear,
I hear what you're saying, man.
This does not bring us new equipment into the radio station. It doesn't bring us new advertisers on the air. It doesn't make life better for everybody from the top people here all the way down to the part-timers. You calling in on the show to talk about how you're going to want to win the best boss contest.
You're a very selfish man, worrying about the listeners and the advertisers.
That's
all
what
that
we're supposed
stuff.
To do!
Let me tell you something, and I know you voted for Obama, so I blame you for most of it. I am scared to death. They're talking about corporate jet taxes and stuff.
Yeah, corporate jet taxes.
And I can't handle that if they start taxing corporate jets and closing loopholes for entertaining on yachts. If I can't write off the things that I'm used to writing off,
yeah,
that would be like Pearl Harbor. But guys, I'm really pumped because I'm going to win this best boss thing. If you had told me I'd be in the desert doing peyote with some hippie, I'd have called you crazy. But you know what it is?
What?
It's all about publicity and getting your name out there.
Because this is
just part one of a two-part plan.
A two-part plan.
Maybe three or four parts. I don't know yet.
For publicity.
Yeah, because I'm gonna be a motivational speaker.
Wait a second.
Because I happen to run a successful business.
But it's not about getting...
And I know a thing or two.
Okay. It's not about publicity for Brock Beasley.
Yeah, yes, it is.
It should be about publicity for, like, say, 96 K-Rock. Or
Bubba
or Stan and Haney, and here's the radio station, and let's get some publicity. It shouldn't be about Brock Beasley, in all due respect, sir, it shouldn't be about Brock Beasley winning the Best Boss Award.
Damn it. How many times do I have to say, I hear what you're saying before I start to get mad, and it's disingenuous to start with? I don't hear what you're saying. I called and personally gave you a motivational talking to. You're going to feel like a winner. Now, you won't be a winner, but you'll feel like one.
Thank you.
The sworn enemies of brown nosers and yes men everywhere.
Yes!
Stan and Haney, 96 K-Rock.
I like that piano coming in. I really like that.
It just comes right in and boom.
Stan and Haney in the afternoon. Glad to have you along for Friday. Coming up about 30 minutes from now, a visit from retired child psychologist Dr. Murray Kleiner, as he'll be paying us a visit and see how he's doing answering your emails. And in just a few minutes, Bok Choy Manservant, Haney's headlines, of course, his news coming up at 5 o'clock here on 96 K-Rock.
Coming up in less than an hour, there's now a book to help you explain your plastic surgery to your children. People who work from home look at more porn than people who work in an office.
I believe it.
There's a new form of bullying. It involves eating peanut butter around kids with peanut allergies.
Now that's just plain wrong.
The land just west of the famous Hollywood sign is up for sale for $22 million.
It's a bargain.
You can get a miniature replica of your house for your dog. It'll only cost you $25,000.
Stupid.
And finally, important news. In our state, it has just become illegal to hang novelty genitalia from your bumper.
Oh. You know those balls?
Yeah. On the trailer hitch?
Yeah.
You may want to take them off now, Stan. We'll have these stories and much, much more coming your way in less than an hour on the news.
Thank you, Haney.
Stan doesn't even have a trailer hitch, but yet he's got the genitalia.
Yeah, I got him just about an inch from the asphalt.
They call them truck nuts.
Is that what they call them?
Yeah, and I don't mind them as much as I do the fake propellers. I think they should be outlawed,
right,
too.
Like the boat propeller that they have in the back there?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and the bumper sticker, my other car is a boat.
Truck nuts. Mm-hmm. I like that. Where is he? You know what? I wish. There's no reason why I can't go. BB is coming to the Barber Bee Man. Haney and I had the privilege,
the honor,
of watching his show and then actually meeting the man. He is something truly special. And you say to yourself, how many more years will he be doing this? And how many more opportunities will you get to see a guy like him?
It was a while ago that we saw him, and he gave it everything he had on stage. And we met him after the show, and the man was exhausted.
And here's the thing. How old is BB?
Got to be in his 80s.
Let me, BB King, if you've watched him over the years, and this is where we saw him. We saw him, I think, in like 88 or 89, or 99.
There you go.
98 or 99.
When did Rattle and Hum come out?
That was in 87.
Because I remember during Rattle and Hum, he goes, well, I'm a 62-year-old man.
So, yeah, 87, 88.
Well, he was born in 25.
That would make him
75 plus 83.
Unbelievable. How many 83-year-old people, first of all, could you imagine touring the country? And secondly, would you pay good money to see
him? Yeah. See, the thing with him, and this is why, watch every opportunity. If he's around, go see him. Probably about 12.
Oh, you're not going to rub that in, are you?
No. About 12, 13 years ago, he used to still do his whole show on his feet. On his feet.
We did most of it.
And then he would come out, and about midway through, and that's when we saw him, he apologized to the audience. He said, I hope you don't mind. I'm getting old, and I'd like to sit down.
We're not sitting down because we're tired. We're sitting down because it's time to reminisce.
And he sat down and did like the second half of his show. He sits down for his shows now, but it does not in any way take away from the performance. He has the best band out there.
Oh, yeah. Always has.
And he just wails.
And you know what I will never, ever forgive myself for, don't you?
What's that?
Frank Sinatra played Harborside.
And you had a chance to go.
I could have gone.
Like 2 years before he died.
And it went right up to the night of the show that I was trying to decide whether to go or not. But we had a show to do early the next morning. Yep. And I said, you know what? Show is too important. And as it turns out, who cares about the show? I should have gone to see Frank Sinatra.
How are you?
Good, thank you.
Before we start jokes, Bok Choy, anybody you want to say hi to?
You said hello to Bitch yesterday.
Yeah, you said hi to Bitch yesterday. Anybody else you want to say hi
today,
to?
I'd like to say hi to Amy. She works at the Naples Daily News. What's up, Amy?
Let's all have a good laugh. It's joke time.
Bok Choy.
Barack Obama is running a new ad claiming Hillary Clinton accept over $800,000 from lobbyists. So she is in bed with someone after all. The last of Disney original animator had died. Some of his better known cartoons include Snow White, Sleeping Beauty, and Priscilla Presley.
Great animator.
Yeah, that one's not available now. I don't think it comes out again until 2010.
A Los Angeles woman forced Charleston Heston signature to pay for $50,000 of her own bills. I don't blame her. It is not like it's that hard to scribble wavy mark and a backward C.
What?
Wayne Brady divorce had been finalized. Oh man, I don't tell my grandma he's single again. She got a weak heart. Next week, theme on American Idol is Broadway tunes. And for the first time, Ryan Seacrest regrets not being eligible to compete.
Eligible.
Eligible.
In a new interview, Michelle Rodriguez
Who?
Rodriguez.
Rodriguez. Once again, refused to reveal her sexuality. Then she adjusts her white beater, spit tobacco into an empty Michelob bottle, and said, how you doing, mommy?" to a passing waitress.
Hey, let's play a quick game. Yes. Name this letter.
W.
Waitress. Part of the training program.
Today's jokes are brought to you by the letter
W. In coordination with Stan and Heaney. Ashley Simpson, pregnancy will prevent her from making her acting debut in an upcoming movie. The ironic thing is what a period piece. Rapper Common.
Who?
Common?
What?
The rapper Common.
Common.
The rapper Common.
Is reportedly hooking up with Serena Williams. Man, that dude is lucky. Getting someone as hot as Common? Debbie Gibson had filed a restraining order against the man who runs her fan club.
Oh, geez, that's
what?
Not good.
No worries. I will take his place. Respond, nobody. Former Blink 182 rummer Travis.
Rummer. Yeah, I'm a rummer.
Travis Barker settled a lawsuit against Rockstar Energy Drinks for using his likeness without permission.
Rockstar Energy Drinks.
You ever have one of those?
No, not yet. After all, what do Blink 182 and Rockstar have to do with one another? Reporters have discovered that, contrary to his claim, hip-hop star Akon had never been arrested or served jail time. Come on, a rapper pretending to be a criminal in order to seem dangerous so that white kid will buy his records? Impossible. Tomorrow is Earth Day.
Yes, happy Earth Day.
Or as the Bush administration calls it, Saturday. Mount O'Mel.
What?
Mount.
Mount.
O'Mel.
Mount O'Mel.
Malt-O-Meal.
Malt-O-Meal. Has had to recall puffy rice and puff wheat because they are tainted by salmonella.
Salmonella.
Sanjaya.
Well, talk about serial killer. The government plans to begin collecting DNA samples from anyone arrested by a federal law enforcement agency. So here your Dixie cup and stack of Bruce Bader's, Ginbert News, fella, enjoy.
Dixie cup and a stack of Ruth Bader Ginsburg News. Go to work.
A San Francisco student is under fire for performing art piece involving bondages. Fellatio? Faces swapping.
Wait a second. Rewind.
Start from the beginning.
Okay. A San Francisco student is under arrest. Under fire. Yeah. Under fire for performing art piece involving bondages. Fellatio.
Fellatio.
Oh, fellatio. Faces. Faces. Swapping. And
faces. Faces.
Faces. Swapping. Swapping.
Feces.
Feces. Swapping. And intimidate.
What?
Intimate. Intimidate. No.
Into you.
Intimate.
Into you.
Imitate.
Into you.
Cleansing. Oh, as it know around here, the office Christmas party.
Oh. And what was it involved in? Bondages?
Bondages? Felicio?
Yeah.
Felatio. Yeah.
Felatio. Yeah. Faces swapping?
Faces swapping?
The feces? Feces swapping? A rare giant turtle has been found in Vietnam. That's South America. Is it my country?
I don't know.
No editorializing.
And now...
It starts from the beginning now.
A rare giant turtle has been found in Vietnam. And now it says for sale with the size of noodle from a car.
See, that's one for you there, Bob.
Yeah, I know. 50 Iraqi soldiers abandoned their post during a tense standoff with Shiite militia on the bright side. Allah now had 3,600 virgin to himself. Guys can decrease the risk of prostate cancer with frequent masturbation?
Masturbation?
Yeah.
Oh, and perhaps I should introduce myself. I am Mr. Perfect Prostate.
You know, I think the more he starts to understand what these jokes are saying, the less he wants to do it.
How do you know that? Popomania?
What?
Popomania?
Popomania? Popomania?
Popomania?
Popomania in America continue as the pontiff ends his visit in Washington, D.C. and begin one in New York City. Needless to say, with the spiritual leader of the Roman Catholic Church around, the city known for anything but good behavior is watching its step very closely. What? Check out the
top
size the Pope is in New York City.
Top size the Pope is in New York City.
The Pope's already been beaten up for liking deep dish pizza. The last rice are given to the CBS Evening News with Catty Curtis.
Catty Curtis.
All the Nigerians are selling red shoes.
You know, they should have him do the intro. Could you say, this is the CBS Evening News with Catty Curtis?
This is the CBS Evening News with Catty Lee Curtis? I mean, Catty Curtis. Not good.
I guarantee you that'd get him a point in the ratings.
Yeah.
All the Nigerians are selling red shoes.
Are selling what?
Red shoes.
Red shoes.
The Yankees are fielding a lineup entirely of players named Jesus.
Maybe Jesus.
The Pope Mobile driver had learned to give the finger and say, "Go back to Jersey" in 17 different languages. Plexico burst. How to pronounce pontiff. He fell off court, but nevertheless, he tries. He tried nevertheless.
What's he trying to pronounce?
Pontips.
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 That's coming from Flaxico Burst.
Yeah.
Men in dresses are now seen as respectful as opposed to trainees. Trainees.
Trainees.
Trainees. The Pope knew it. Jewers is
trying to hire a trainee and his ugly woman.
The Pope knew it. Jewers is a Rolex he bought for $10. Chinatown is selling DVD of his 208 Christmas Mass. Howard Stern reminiscing about the days when he could draw a crown.
Got that right.
Bums are hoping for some water into Mad Dog action. Hmm? What? Okay, bums are hoping for some water into
Mad Dog
action.
No, the old water into wine thing.
Here's the last one. The meatpacking district telling anyone who will listen that it had nothing to do with gays.
Meatpacking district. Thank you, Bok Choy.
It's my pleasure, Stan.
All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back,
riding shotgun in a road rally wearing a really weird crash helmet. Stan and Haney, 96 K-Rock.
Stan and Haney in the afternoon. Glad to have you along.
Thanks.
Not you. I'm talking about the people getting ready to their drive home. It's the weekend.
You're not talking
Friday.
About me. You're talking
well,
about someone else.
I'm glad you're here, but...
Yeah, but...
Hopefully I'm talking to more than just you. Coming up in about a half hour, Mark Haney and the news. Ahoy.
Ahoy.
Shut
Jeez.
Up, low life piece of crud.
I don't get it, because I've been taking a lot of calls off the air. Everyone's been very nice to me.
Oh, that's good, because you're just an overall nice guy.
But as soon as you answer, you got the meanies.
Where's his phone number? I'll call him.
There it is.
Is he calling in?
Yep.
Oh, good. Hit the music.
Okie dokie.
Because he's late. Well, you wait for a damn phone call or wait till next Christmas for this guy to come on.
You mean Hanukkah?
Yeah, wait for next Hanukkah for this guy to come on.
Is somebody giving you trouble?
You. You're supposed to call like 5 minutes ago.
I'm right on time.
And it's time for another edition of Caring and Sharing with retired psychologist Dr. Murray Kleiner. We head to Laguna Beach, California, where the good doctor is kind enough to take time out of his busy day to answer your emails. Good afternoon, doctor.
Good afternoon to everyone there in sunny Fort Lauderdale.
Fort Myers.
Whatever. I'm in a particularly good mood today.
Why is that, doctor?
Well, pardon me while I light up.
That's nice. That's great. Still smoking that marijuana.
A couple of weeks ago,
yeah,
I spoke to you when I had to take my brother up to Loma Linda.
I remember that, yes.
Well, it's his follow-up today. And I was having car problems. You know, I was driving his car. I had no air conditioning in it.
Sure.
I have been lucky enough to borrow a car from an associate of mine.
Yes.
And let me tell you, it is luxury.
Right, it is. Yeah, I bet it is.
And something interesting, when you borrow someone's car,
uh-huh.
You find out a lot about the person when you go through their glove compartment. You just find out what kind of junk they got in there.
Uh-huh.
You find out probably things they probably don't want you to
know. Yeah, and probably a kind of tough closing it again, too, right?
Like, for instance, I see something here, and I don't know if it's a matter of insecurity, but it looks like a table leg. And I think he carries this around thinking he's going to whack somebody with
a table leg.
Looks like a table leg, and it's got fringe around it.
My God, what's that guy doing with that?
I don't know, but that's not going to stop a third grader. I mean, if you cracked me in the head with that, it would shatter. And he's evidently a big Beatles fan.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
because I've been going through his CDs.
Yes,
and somebody's got him a gift bag, and there's various.
You've
phone
just been
numbers.
Pretty much going through everything in that guy's car, huh?
And credit card slips. He really shouldn't leave these things in the car. Yeah. It's very personal.
Yeah. Aren't you betraying his trust by going through his stuff?
That's what you would think.
Well, he's silly enough to let me borrow his car. He's even you know what? This son of a bitch has even got a pair of chopsticks in here.
What's that about?
Who would travel around with some chopsticks?
I don't know. Are you ready to answer our listeners?
Oh, I am more than ready because I am sitting here in air-conditioned comfort. I've got the windows all rolled up, and I am all smoked out.
That's great.
The smell's going to linger.
I'm sure it is. Dr. Kleiner.
God bless him for letting me use the vehicle so that I don't have to sweat while I do this. Whatever it is that I do.
This email comes in.
By the way.
Yes, sir.
I am not sold on this PayPal.
What did you try buying with PayPal, Dr. Kleiner?
Well, your people are paying me through PayPal.
That's how we pay
them. Saying that they forgot to put the decimal point in the right place.
Right.
So I have been receiving payments for the past several weeks of $1.
Well, I don't know.
There should be. There should. The decimal should have two more zeros.
I don't know. That might not be a mistake. This is. This email is from. Brad.
Are you telling me, what? In all honesty, that you believe that my time is worth a dollar?
Sometimes. This is from Brad.
I'm going to forget you said that because I'm just going to enjoy this new car smell
and wreck
along
it
with the, yeah, along wreck with it. The smell of marijuana.
This letter
and
is,
God forbid I forget and leave a roach in here because he doesn't even use his ashtray. He's got a lot of coins in it, but I've been using it anyway.
Oh, God. This letter's from Brad. He's 29, Dr. Kleiner. If we can get your mind off the air conditioning and what is in your buddy's car.
I think I'm building up a tolerance to the marijuana.
You need more, huh?
Well, my brother promised me that he would give me some of his morphine if it all goes well with the doctor today.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Check that center console. I think you'll find some. This is from...
Let's take a look here. Gift certificates.
Why don't you close that?
Who keeps a wine glass? Never mind. I'll wait till I'm off the phone with you to go through that. That's a whole can of worms.
Okay. This letter's from Brad. He's 29, and he writes in to you, Dr. Kleiner. I've been seeing this woman for a while now, and we have the most mind-blowing relations. She's definitely the best person I've ever been with. In the sack, she's literally up for anything. You know about this kind of stuff. Up for anything, doctor. And we have fun playing around doing different kinky things. However, it never fails, Dr. Kleiner. As soon as we're done, she immediately gets out of bed and takes a shower. This makes me feel bad. But she told me it's no big deal. She just likes to, quote, feel clean. What's the deal with this, Dr. Kleiner? Is it possible that I make her feel dirty? Signed, Brad. He's 29.
Well, first of all, Brad, if you're making her feel dirty, you've done your job.
Yeah.
You should be writing me a letter if she didn't shower.
Aha, uh-huh, good
if
point.
If you don't take a shower after you've been scutzing around,
yeah,
rubbing bacon, shaking the sheets, having a squeeze and a squirt. You know what I'm talking about.
I sure know exactly what you're talking about, Doctor.
If she doesn't feel the need to clean her up after a healthy dose of vitamin F, then you've both been playing in the yard. You're going to get some dirt on you. You know what I'm talking about?
So you should say to Brad, I guess your advice would be you're doing the right thing.
But he should be very, very pleased. I mean, does he not offer Captain Standish at least a trucker's bath?
Captain Standish.
Oh, the pants pusher.
Yes, I'm well aware.
The Rise of the Levi's sporting a Sequoia.
Yeah.
Rock Python.
Mm-hmm, sure.
Yeah.
Okay, so...
old Steely Dan, if you know what I mean.
So there's really no problem here with Brad, then.
Not unless he's trying to make a problem.
Okay. Thank you, Doctor. Our next letter.
I would think he would be grateful.
Yeah,
I like a woman to smell nice.
Yeah, who doesn't?
I don't want to smell myself on a woman.
Right, you are. This letter comes from Janice. She's 34, Dr. Kleiner. She writes in, Dear Dr. Kleiner, I have very strong feelings for this guy I just started dating. We have so much in common. I have so much fun with him every time we go out. There's just one problem, Dr. Kleiner.
Oh,
well, that's why they're writing you, Doctor. There's
there always is.
There's just one problem. The other day was the first time we had done anything physical. Well, his manhood is small, really small.
Deal breaker.
I have to admit, I'm a little less interested in him. Does this make me a shallow person, Dr. Kleiner? Should I keep dating him, or should I break this off with him? Signed, Janice. She's 34. Too small for Janice, Doctor.
Well, as I said, I don't know if you were the audience
could hear me. But that is a deal breaker.
It is.
That's something, you know, when you have problems with a relationship, these are problems, for the most part, that can be worked on through therapy with a qualified professional such as myself, although I am non-licensed.
Right. Been years now.
But physical incompatibility, it would be the same thing as if he looked at you and said, you know, the bean bags are not big enough.
Right.
The butter bags, the cantaloupes, your gazongas. Mm-hmm. Honkers, hooters, howitzers, jaboos, bazongas, lactoids, lob lollies, love muffins, mulligans, nubbies, noogies, nodules, you know, nippers, pears, pillows, pontoons, potatoes, tidbits, tamales, watermelons, whoppers, zeppelins. What have you?
Right.
So
now you have to ask yourself, how would that make you feel if he was basing your entire relationship on the fact that you are lacking in that department?
Right.
I think that probably the woman then would say, well, what a shallow person he is. There's so much more to me than the fun bags.
So this does make Janice shallow by judging his manhood.
Well, it's entirely her prerogative if she wants to be shallow like that. Just what kind of crap is it that's in the Bible somewhere?
Crap? What?
It's some nonsense that's in the Bible about judging and lest you be judged.
Uh-huh. Sure. Yeah.
But
that crap in the Bible.
Yeah.
Well, you know what I'm talking about.
I know what you're talking about, Doctor.
Yeah, but if you are prepared, all other things being equal, that she did say she likes him, right?
Yeah, she likes him, but she said after they had relations and she realized his manhood was really small, she has to admit she's less interested.
That's the only thing she's got against
this
guy.
The size.
So she is telling me and your listening audience that she is willing to destroy a perfectly good romantic relationship that's everything she wants except for the fact that his cunny gun is the wrong caliber.
Yeah. Woo, yeah. Yeah, you kind of got that right, but you told me just as I was reading this thing that it is a definite deal breaker.
Well, it is a deal breaker if she's that shallow. You know, the old dingle dangle ain't big enough. You know, the dummy. Some of this stuff I can't say.
I know.
You know, the fiddle bow don't play. The fishing rod can't land the big one.
Yeah.
The gut wrench ain't the right size.
Right.
Hanging Johnny just doesn't cut it.
Yep. Yeah,
it's not a ham bone that she can choke upon.
Okay, I get it.
A hot rod ain't fast enough.
Mm-hmm.
A hairy hot dog is one of those, little Vienna sausages.
Right, little Vienna.
The kidney wiper ain't getting nothing clean.
Okay, all right, we get it, Doctor.
Oh, she wants the big brother, she's getting the little brother. The love muscle has atrophied.
We have run out of time.
Mad Nick ain't mad enough. Old blind Bob needs a pair of glasses.
Uh-huh. Thank you.
The one-eyed trouser trout has to be thrown back.
Thank you, Dr. Kleiner.
Fat muscle ain't no Jack LaLanne.
Appreciate your time with us again.
The pink pencil is not a number two.
Okay. We'll talk to you next week, okay?
The plug tail does not fill.
All right.
The rolling pin does nothing for her dough.
We'll talk to you next week, Doctor.
The silent flute makes no noise. That peg.
I'll see you later, okay?
Crap stick.
Okay, that's it. That'll about do it. See you next week.
Uncle Dick is a midget.
All right. All right, we're going to take a break, and we'll be back on 96 K-Rock. Stan and Haney in the afternoon. Glad to have you along. Friday. Got Haney in the news in just a second as soon as he clears his throat.
You could hear that?
Yes.
So is this some sort of joke that's being played on me where they put a big red button that says cough switch?
I wish they'd hook it up.
There's an actual button there he hits.
Yeah,
so it doesn't do
never,
anything.
I would never make that noise if it was on the air. I would never go, I wouldn't do that. No, there's a big red button here that says cough
switch.
Well,
it doesn't work.
Evidently,
I'm telling you.
Evidently, somebody's having a big laugh at my expense.
I'm telling you, don't work.
At least somebody's laughing at something on this show.
Mark Haney and the news starts right now.
And now the news. With Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, Mark Haney.
Hi, this is Peter Arnett, and here's Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, Mark Haney.
Good afternoon. This is the news for today, Friday.
Yeah.
April 18th.
Double MV, triple I.
Telling it like it is, I'm Mark Haney. The first story we bring to you today is extremely disturbing, and it comes to us directly from the fine publication, The Stars and Stripes.
That's the military magazine right there.
This is mind-blowing stuff. And again, the source of this story, The Stars and Stripes.
Been around a long time.
In a recent survey, the South Korean Military Academy asked all of its incoming cadets who South Korea's main enemy was. They were asking this of people signing up to be soldiers in the South Korean military.
Okay.
They said, hey, potential soldier boy, who is South Korea's main enemy? Who is South Korea's number one sworn enemy on the face of the earth? 33% of the cadets said what most of us would think is the correct answer.
They
said North Korea.
Yeah, that's they've had that line drawn across the country forever.
Well, they've got guns pointed at you, son.
Yeah.
33% said North Korea. A larger percentage, 34%, said South Korea's main enemy is the United States of America.
Jeez. More than North Korea. What a joke.
So they have this opinion that the United States of America, that has troops stationed to protect South Korea is their main enemy.
Fighting alongside the South Koreans, General Douglas MacArthur.
The money, the equipment, the training, the sacrifice of American families has gone for naught. To their credit, South Korean officials who do know better.
Right.
Were so offended and appalled with the test results that they have now shortened boot camp from 6 weeks to 4. Now, make no mistake, they'll still have to do the 6 weeks. They will use 2 full weeks to give the cadets a history lesson on how the United States basically rescued their asses in the Korean War.
Yep.
And those jackasses should take one of those little tour buses into North Korea and see what they're missing, mm-hmm. thanks to the United States.
The Forgotten War.
That's mind-blowing.
Yes, it is. North Korea and China would have just barreled them right over if it wasn't for the United States of America.
The whole place would look like Pyongyang. And, I mean, there is not a starker comparison in the world than between North and South Korea.
Sure, right. You're right. Sure.
Prosperity versus utter despair.
North Korea doesn't have the power to run lights at night. It's dark.
Yeah, look at the satellite imagery. South Korea lit up like a Christmas tree. North Korea, there's one little dot where Kim Jong-il is watching television.
Yep, and he's the only one.
Staying on the international beat.
There we go.
Yesterday, rumors surfaced. Rumors specifically regarding Russia's 55-year-old president, Vladimir Putin.
What's he up to?
Now, you remember our president looked into his eyes and saw the man's soul.
Yes.
Well, he may be on to something. You got to hand it to 55-year-old Vladimir Putin. The rumors are that Putin got engaged to an extremely hot 24-year-old rhythmic gymnast named Alina Khabiba.
Wow.
She took the bronze at the Doubleot Olympics and the gold at the 04 Games in all-around competition. There is one potential problem.
What?
But not that big a problem if you're a Russian despot.
What's the problem?
Well, officially, he's still married to... he's officially still married to 50-year-old Ludmila.
Ludmila?
In fact, officially, Putin and Ludmila are not even separated formally or informally. So
wow.
Evidently, the news of the happy day will come as a complete surprise to 50-year-old Ludmila.
Right, 50. She should have known.
Well, and one can't blame Putin.
No!
Because in that part of the world, it's true for Russians, Greeks, Eastern Europeans, just in youth, some of the most beautiful women in the world.
Yes.
But Father Time beats them with his staff. Very hard.
Yep.
More so than women in other parts of the world.
Right.
It's like you go look at a Swede.
Oh.
They age pretty well.
Yes, they do.
I mean, let's say 24-year-old Swedish girl.
Yeah.
You meet her mother.
Yeah.
You go, whoa.
Oh, yeah. Your mother's all right.
You'd go, I'd have to think twice.
Yeah.
She may be 50, but...
not bad.
Whereas a babushka lady...
Yeah, babushka.
Okay, I think we've done enough damage. It's not like we have female listeners anyway. They hate that, by the way.
I know that.
Women are pretty good sports. They'll take a lot of shots, but when you start talking age...
Yep.
They get angry.
That's the bad one right there.
That's when the anger starts. When people picture Los Angeles, they think of beaches and movies, and of course, the famous Hollywood sign.
Yep, Hollywoodland.
But how much do you really know about that sign? If your answer is like most people, not much, allow me to fill you in.
Thank you, Haney.
Back in 1923, the Hollywood sign was erected as part of a real estate scam. Then in 1940, Howard Hughes bought the land just west of the sign. Hughes originally planned to build a mansion on the land, but never got around to it. And in 1976, Hughes died, and the land became property of his estate, even though most people just assumed that it would become city property. It did not. In 2002, a group of investors from Chicago hoodwinked Hughes trustees into selling them the land for $1.7 million.
How am I? Only $1.7 million?
That's what most people would refer to as a ridiculous bargain. Last month, they put the 138-acre plot of land directly adjacent to the Hollywood sign up for sale for $22 million. In all likelihood, whoever buys that land will turn it into a subdivision, which will decrease the sign's iconic value. You may be wondering, what's the city going to do about this? Are they at least going to try?
Going to do something about it?
Well, according to the law, the land is private property, and whoever buys it is free to do whatever they want with it. Why doesn't the city buy it? Well, Los Angeles does own the actual land that the Hollywood sign is on. They also own the other three sides of the Hollywood sign. But according to city officials, even if Los Angeles wanted to get involved and have the city buy the Hughes land, under the law, it cannot pay more than $6 million because of a recent appraisal. You know how that goes.
Oh, yeah, yeah, sure.
But I paid over $2 million for this condo. Well, it's worth 50 cents.
Yeah. Yeah, when it was a land development, the Hollywood sign was called Hollywood Land, and then it got torn down and went into extreme disrepair.
That's right. And not only do you read, you watch movies.
There was a movie, but I didn't know through that. I watched learned through reading.
You like to read.
Stan's credo has always been reading is fundamental.
Yes.
And then a star falls by his head, and the more you know.
Hi, I'm Bill O'Reilly from the Fox News Channel with today's good news. Here's Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, my colleague, Mark Haney.
Bill, it used to be that only rich people and celebrities got plastic surgery. But now a lot of regular folk, people just like you and me, are having cosmetic surgery too. But have you ever wondered what to tell your kids when they ask why you look different? Well, finally, there's a book to help you with just that problem.
So stupid.
It's called My Beautiful Mommy. And the author is a plastic surgeon from Bal Harbor named Michael Salzauer. Michael says that a lot of parents don't explain plastic surgery to their children, and it can be very confusing to them. Kids see bandages, so they think you're hurt. Or they hear you're going to the doctor, so they assume you've been stricken with some horrible illness. According to Michael, parents can use My Beautiful Mommy as a tool to help them explain plastic surgery in a way that kids can understand. You see, Timmy, your mommy's what they call vain and superficial. Actually, that's my book. That's not his book.
Your mommy.
Your mommy is best described by a word that rhymes with runt.
Oh, hey! See, there, right there.
Yeah, that's Hollywood land.
With an old Model T driving right by.
You see, Timmy, your mommy and I don't see eye to eye on much. And she's stealing money from Daddy so that she can attract other men. For example, in one exchange, a young girl asked her mommy about her nose job.
Ah.
Her very noticeable nose job. Will she look different after she has the surgery? The mom responds, quote, "No, Timmy. Not different, my dear. Prettier."
Oh, that is so... Take that book up. Burn it. Burn the book.
Mirror, mirror on the wall. A 24-year-old gymnast. Vladimir?
This just ends Stan Owlonik in favor of book burning.
Yeah, well, that book, burn it.
My Beautiful Mommy is due out on Monday, April 28th. You can get an advance copy now. As you're fighting traffic on your way home, the idea of just working from home might sound like a little slice of heaven.
Oh, yeah.
But it turns out working from home has its own set of trappings which can interfere with your productivity, which we all know is your main focus. You must be happy in your work. You must cooperate. You will build bridge. I'm afraid I can't, sir. Put them in the box. I happen to be an officer.
I shall not work. I shall command my own men. They are not to take orders from you.
I am an officer.
Put them in the box.
You must cooperate. Be happy in your work. A new survey from a web security firm called SafeScan found that people who work from home visit porn websites 2.5 times more often than people who work in an office.
Yep.
They also visit websites with extremely graphic content. 5.5 times more often. You remember our old producer where he'd be looking at a beheading or a horrible car accident?
Yes.
And people who work from home visit websites with just downright illegal content 4 times more often. According to researchers at the University of Chicago, the number of kids with food allergies has doubled in just the last 5 years.
Figure that out.
The most common food that kids are allergic to is peanuts. That's along with about 1% of the total population.
Yeah.
In case you don't know, people with peanut allergies can have allergic reactions just by breathing in microscopic airborne peanut particles. Now, it is rare, but it does happen. And when it does, it can cause extreme swelling and, in some cases, even death by suffocation. And apparently, taunting allergic classmates with peanut butter and jelly sandwiches and peanut butter cups has become a serious problem in some schools. It sounds ridiculous, but to parents whose kids are allergic to peanuts, the school needs to do a better job of creating a safe environment for their children. Some parents even want their kids to have protection under the Americans with Disabilities Act so they will be treated like any other disabled child. Seems a bit extreme, mm-hmm. but on the other hand, kid could die.
Yeah. Childhood allergies increasing like they did. And peanuts. Boy, you know what? When I was a kid, I ate peanuts like mad. Didn't know of anybody that had a peanut allergy. Just think, no Snickers.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man.
Seems like nothing but mounds.
Yeah.
Because Almond Joy.
You got nuts.
Yeah. But that's not a peanut.
But mounds don't.
Right.
Well, sometimes you feel like a nut, sometimes you don't.
Well, Snickers is packed with peanuts
Fist
and really
full of peanuts
satisfying.
In every bar.
Well, they can go ahead and brag about that until you look at it next to a payday.
Yep.
Covered with nuts.
Yep.
Hello, I'm Bill Curtis of Investigative Reports.
Speaking of
For
nuts.
For our final story, here is Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, Mark Haney.
Bill. Have you ever been driving down the road and noticed what appeared to be a set of metallic, oversized male genitalia dangling from the back end of the truck in front of you?
Mm-hmm.
If so, it was most likely a set of truck nuts.
Yep.
Now, if you have no idea what I'm talking about, allow me to explain. There is a company called Truck Nuts, which specializes in novelty accessories for your car or truck. Think of it as a hood ornament, only instead of being on your hood, their product hangs from your truck's trailer hitch, and it's shaped like a set of gonads. Recently, these things have become pretty popular, but there are many who believe that truck nuts are disgusting and completely inappropriate. That's why yesterday, Florida lawmakers passed a bill which would make it illegal for your vehicle to sport a set of truck nuts. If a cop sees a pair on your truck, you'll be pulled over and written a ticket for $60. You'll also be cited with a moving violation, and it will count as points against your driver's license.
What?
Jeez.
If this is enough to make you want to move, you should know that truck nuts are completely legal in the other 49 states, and you can get them at trucknuts.com.
I'm on there right now. You got the black tuxedo nuts, the blue balls,
right?
The chocolate nuts, and they have a two sets of photo galleries, so you can take a look at how it would look on the back of your car.
Right.
Who wouldn't be proud to have that hanging from the back of their car? That's the news for today, Friday, April 18th.
Double MV, triple I.
I am Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman. Telling it like it is, I'm Mark Haney.
Construction worker balls, fireman red nuts. Look, they got them all. Right there. What the hell's that one? Oh, I don't even think I can say it.
You can help support the Stan and Haney webpage by going to stanandhaney.com and clicking the Amazon website icon. Save that to your favorites. Then simply use that link to access Amazon. It costs you nothing and helps support the Stan and Haney page each and every time you shop.
We understand there's a certain segment of the population that will never get this show. To them, we simply say, F*** off. Stan and Haney, 96 K-Rock.
They're not sunshiny. They don't talk like there's nothing but blue sky ahead and fill you in a bunch of bull.
We're realists.
That's what I always said.
We're not optimists or pessimists. No. We're realists.
Stan and Haney in the afternoon. Glad to have you along. Friday afternoon, you drive home. You know, dinner's probably cooking right there on the stove for you.
What?
You walk in.
You're talking crazy.
The kids have all been bathed and
they're all dressed up, lined up at the door, waiting for you to come in.
And then at 7:30, we'll put on Mannix.
Yep.
You weirdo.
That's the way it was when
is
I
Love
was
Boat
a kid.
On tonight that's or is that Saturday
that's
night?
That's the way it is for him now. Because he will do the crock pot thing.
Oh, it was good.
Yeah, how was your stew yesterday?
Awesome.
He comes home. Ooh.
Yeah, you open that door, you can smell it.
What is that you've got on the stove there, honey?
What, do you follow me home?
Let's sit down and watch the new Hawaii 5-0.
Yeah, I opened the door last night. Smelled that stew a-simmering. Somebody's got something cooking.
Well, you know what? I don't criticize you. You got to do what you got to do to keep your sanity.
Yeah, and that V for Vendetta stand-up is something.
And we don't do this often, and we don't have a lot of time, but I would like to ask the audience's help with something. And again, we don't have a lot of time.
Let me get traffic out, too.
All right,
set the stage, and then we'll do traffic.
We'll do traffic, and you guys can think about it and call us up. We got an email from somebody who called us a couple of and I got to figure out how to respond.
Yeah.
You believe that?
That was uncalled for.
Had the unmitigated gall.
The audacity.
To send us an email going, you guys are a couple of
you guys are a lot of things, but that don't jump to mind.
No.
And I wanted to just write back, good day, sir.
Yes.
I rebuke you.
You calling us f***s? We're not a bundle of sticks. Good day to you, sir.
May I suggest Summer's Moon?
Seriously. Guy emailed us, said you guys are a couple of f***s.
That's like high school. You f***. Punk. Ahoy.
Stan, that email wasn't from was it?
I don't know what that means.
Is that code?
Yeah, you know it's gotta be.
And evidently, he doesn't like listening to us, but feels like he has to.
Right. Yeah. Ahoy.
Ahoy, boys. How you all doing today?
Oh, howdy.
Howdy.
Howdy. I just wanted to say that...
Thank you, ma'am.
Ma'am. Ahoy!
Hey! Come to whip it out and show him an end he hasn't saw before.
I was thinking about sending him, a side-by-side nude of the two of us.
Right.
And asking him to meet us somewhere.
Right.
We'll be sitting, the two of us together, shoulder to shoulder, with each outside leg kicked up.
Yep. You take the high road. I'll take the low.
Can we bring my camera in on Monday? Or do you want to do it at your house?
We can do it at my house. Okay. We'll all get together.
Okay. Yeah, we probably shouldn't do that here.
No. Yeah, we'll just, you know, form a circle.
All right. I got some blankets I can hang over the windows. And some,
what, you don't have curtains
you believe
or blinds?
That somebody took the time to email us and say, you guys are a couple of...
Hey, fella.
Sugar Crisp, can't get enough of that Sugar Crisp.
He lives.
He sounds different. I wonder if he got a new phone.
Yeah, a new phone. Ahoy.
Ahoy. Hey,
yeah.
I think you should challenge him to a slappy fight and call him a silly goose. And when he says no, then say, I rebuke you. Good day, sir.
A slappy fight.
A slappy fight.
I rebuke you, sir. Ahoy. There's the guy.
Call us a couple of...
Ahoy.
Can you believe that?
What brought that on?
I don't know.
Stan.
Yes, sir.
Hey, answer this question to be serious about it because it's kind of disturbing to me. I've been listening to you guys quite a long time.
All right.
And if you want to, you know, delay it or whatever.
Oh, well, but, should I have my finger on the button here?
Yeah, I'm not going to swear nothing, but seriously. I live in Cape Coral, so and I work in Fort Myers. So
yeah.
When I come across the Coosahatchee, just past the Hess Mart, on the right-hand side, there's a big bulletin board that says, don't listen to 96 K-Rock. Do you know anything about that?
Call us. Yeah, is there written on the thing?
No. It just says, it's the big billboard that says, do not listen to 96 K-Rock. It doesn't have your name, Stan or Haney's name, or Tom's name on
right.
it. It says, do not listen to 96 K-Rock. Have you seen it? You guys
yeah,
know
we
that,
know,
obviously.
Yeah, we can't
yeah.
excuse your
yeah,
language,
we can't
sorry.
Excuse that.
That's been explained to us. It's part of their long-range plans to get rid of us.
Well, we're going to...
Apparently, caller called in a little while ago, too.
Yeah, yeah.
Said they're already taking them down.
Yeah, they are.
I understand they're being replaced with a shirt lifter.
Yep.
I didn't know
we're
that.
We're going to be back on Monday.
Yeah, they're doing everything they can to destroy us because they've gotten the pop out of don't listen to K-Rock, so now they've replaced it with a shirt lifter.
Yeah,
doing?
Good day, sir. We leave you now with this. This letter comes from Janice. She's 34, Dr. Kleiner. She writes in, Dear Dr. Kleiner, I have very strong feelings for this guy I just started dating. We have so much in common. I have so much fun with him every time we go out. There's just one problem, Dr. Kleiner.
Oh,
well, that's why they're writing you, Doctor.
There's
a problem.
Always is.
There's just one problem. The other day was the first time we had done anything physical. Well,
oh, Jesus Christ.
Well, yeah, she goes, well... His manhood is small, really small.
Deal breaker.
I have to admit, I'm a little less interested in him. Does this make me a shallow person, Dr. Kleiner? Should I keep dating him, or should I break this off with him? Signed, Janice. She's 34. Too small for Janice, doctor.
Well, as I said, I don't know if you or the audience could hear me. But that is a deal breaker.
It is.
That's something, you know, when you have problems with a relationship, these are problems, for the most part, that can be worked on
yes.
in therapy with a qualified professional such as myself,
right.
although I am non-licensed.
Right. Been years now.
But physical incompatibility, it would be the same thing as if he looked at you and said, you know, the bean bags are not big enough.
Right.
The butter bags, the cantaloupes, uh-huh, your gazongas,
mm-hmm.
honkers, hooters, howitzers, jaboos, gazongas, lactoids, lob lollies,
uh-huh.
love muffins,
mm-hmm.
mulligans,
mm-hmm.
what have you.
Right.
So now you have to ask yourself,
yes.
how would that make you feel if he was basing your entire relationship
on the fact that that you are lacking in that department.
Right.
I think that probably the woman then would say, well, 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 what a shallow person he is. There's so much more to me than you know, the fun things.
So this does make Janice shallow by judging his manhood.
Well, it's entirely her prerogative if she wants to be shallow like that. Just what kind of crap is it that's in the Bible somewhere?
Crap? What?
It's some nonsense that's in the Bible about judging and lest you be judged.
Uh-huh. sure. Yeah.
But
that crap in the Bible.
Yeah.
Well, you know what I'm talking about.
I know what you're talking about, Doctor.
Yeah, but if you are prepared. All other things being equal, that she did say she likes him, right?
Yeah, she likes him, but she said after they had relations and she realized his manhood was really small, she has to admit she's less interested.
That's the only thing she's got against this guy.
Yes, the size.
So she is telling me and your listening audience that she is willing to destroy a perfectly good romantic relationship that's everything she wants except for the fact that his cunny gun is the wrong caliber.
Yeah. Woo, yeah. Yeah, you kind of got that right, but you told me just as I was reading this thing that it is a definite deal breaker.
Well, it is a deal breaker if she's that shallow. You know, the old dingle dangle ain't big enough. You know, the dummy. Some of this stuff I can't say.
I know.
You know, the fiddle bow don't play. The fishing rod can't land the big one.
Yeah.
It's not a ham bone that she can choke upon.
Okay. I get it.
A hairy hot dog is one of those, little Vienna sausages.
Right. Right, of Vienna.
The kidney wiper ain't getting nothing clean.
Okay, all right, we get it, Doctor.
Oh, she wants the big brother. She's getting the little brother. The love muscle has atrophied.
We have run out of time.
Mad Nick ain't mad enough. Old blind Bob needs a pair of glasses.
Uh-huh. Thank you.
The one-eyed trouser trout has to be thrown back.
Thank you, Dr. Kleiner.
Appreciate the fat muscle ain't no Jack LaLanne.
Appreciate your time with us again.
The pink pencil is not a number two.
Okay. Okay. We'll talk to you next week, okay?
The plug tail does not fill.
All right.
The rolling pin does nothing for her dough.
We'll talk to you next week, Doctor.
The silent flute makes no noise. Head peg.
I'll see you later, okay?
Crap stick.
Okay, that's it. That'll about do it. See you next week.
Uncle Dick is a midget.
All right.
96 K-Rock.
Social Security case, dial #529 on your cell. Pound law, that's all.
K-Rock.
K-Rock, hello, you're on the air.
Yes, may I speak to Stan, please?
Speaking.
Hello, Stan.
Yes.
I just wanted to let you know that my heart goes out to both you and Haney. What you're going through with your grandmothers is horrible.
Thank you very much.
I certainly understand because I have just gone through putting my mother into a home.
Your mother.
And it is just, it's the hardest thing that you could ever imagine. It's just heartbreaking. And when you realize that your mother, the person that has raised you, is no longer that same person.
Ma'am, what's your first name?
Pat.
Pat, what? Tell me about your situation.
Well, I have just gone through a divorce. I had nowhere to go, and my mother was kind enough to take us in, me and my three boys.
Mm-hmm.
And
three teenage boys?
Yes.
Okay.
But we moved in with my mother, and at first, things were just great, and my mother and I were just as close as we could be. And it was just a wonderful, wonderful time. And then I noticed that things were just, I don't know how you would put it, that she just seemed to be slipping day by day.
Yeah.
And it was difficult for me because I love my mother with all my heart. She started to become very, very demanding.
Demanding how?
She would constantly say things that were just off the wall.
Inappropriate.
Yes, yes, and it concerned me, and I let it go at first. She would say things to me like, Pat, you need to get a job. You need to work. You need to get on with your life.
And right, so far, so that bothered you.
I just thought it was completely off the wall.
Were you working at the time?
No, no.
And you were living with her?
Yes. I take care of my children.
Mm-hmm.
That just became a constant refrain.
Mm-hmm.
And then it just started to degenerate into things where she would, you know, demand that my children help around the house and cut the grass and things like that.
That's right.
And it was just totally off the wall. It was frightening. It was
Hold on a second. And you put your mother into the nursing home?
Yes.
Because she told you, after 6 months of sponging off her, to get a job and maybe have your three punk teens maybe do something around the house instead of her waiting on you and her grandkids hand and foot.
It was the hardest thing that I've ever had.
What do you mean the hardest thing?
It was so hard.
Hold on a second, lady.
The culmination was last month.
Yeah,
whenever
what?
She looked at me, her own daughter.
Yeah.
And told me to get out of her house.
Because you weren't working!
And that's when I knew something had to be done.
And so you put her into a convalescent home?
Yes, I did.
And let me ask you a question. Are you living in her home right now?
Yes, I am.
What the hell is your problem? You know what? Your mother sounded like a completely productive woman and merely wanted her dead-ass daughter and her freeloading grandkids maybe to go and contribute to the family. You know, maybe you think that might be it? Your mother's probably got a sounder mind than you do.
Those are very hurtful words.
Yeah, of course they're hurtful words. You know what's hurtful?
They're coming from a place of hurt within you.
Yeah, sure. Are you working now?
No, I'm not.
You're not. What, are you living off her Social Security checks that come in, the pension, and then you filter a little bit to her in the convalescent home?
Well, yes.
Yeah, that's it. What about your kids? They got any part-time jobs?
Her Social Security goes towards her care and... In reality...
And what are you living off of?
My father had investments in a very large pension. He died several years ago.
Yeah, and that's why your mother was allowing you to be there, because she had the money to...
I have the power of attorney.
You had the power of attorney.
Yes, because she was ruled that she was incompetent and unable to make decisions.
How did that come about?
And what I want you to understand is when you put somebody in a home, it's not because you're angry with them.
Yeah, I think in your case it is.
It's out of love to do something like that because she could no longer receive the care that she needed.
So because your mother, who took you in when you weren't working, when you were going through a divorce, took you and your three kids into her home, and you lived off her for six months.
It is. It's so difficult to
going
say.
On a year now,
it's
and
so,
she opened her mouth about it and said...
You can't imagine how difficult it is to say goodbye. Because
goodbye. Well, do you visit her?
I went to visit her when we first put her in there.
And you don't anymore.
And she was so far out of it. It's
so far out of it.
She didn't even know who I was.
Yeah, what happened? You walked into the room, what?
She said that I cannot believe that you are my daughter, and I am going to institute legal action. And that's when I said,
right,
I
you
just
knew that she was
put,
too far gone.
I cannot put myself through this. Just listen to me. No. God loves you.
God loves you. You know what? You better be praying to Jesus, because when you have to meet him and explain your actions, you got another thing coming, sweetheart.
I know there's a lot of hurt there with you, Stan.
That
there's a
ain't
lot
hurt
of hurt
with me
because of what you've done to your grandmother.
Oh, what have I done? I've done nothing.
But you did it out of love, didn't you?
You're about as low can go. I've never met anybody lower than you.
You're just talking out of hurt.
Goodbye. Unbelievable. Unbelievable.